In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as some of you will know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Canadian rock star Justin Bieber announced that he was ending his year-long tour early, and everyone could get a refund on their tickets if they hadn't yet attended any concerts that were outstanding. He had been on tour for 18 months, actually, and he still had a few more concerts to go. And that's what he said, with much apology on social media. Not long after that, Adele, the British songstress, announced that after doing 121 concerts in her current tour, she wasn't going to be able to do the last two concerts because she'd damaged her vocal cords. She asked forgiveness for anyone who was going to be disappointed, offered a full refund of all the tickets and anything else she could do to console people that she wouldn't be doing her two outstanding concerts. There was much backlash on social media about this. People vilifying these rock stars, calling them prima donnas, selfish. They'd earned so much money they didn't need to do any more concerts. It was quite brutal, actually. And then not long after these two announcements, there were two horrible suicides of rock stars. One, Chester Bennington, very famous in the United States, heavy metal band member, hanged himself. Married with 6 children, aged 41. Everything apparently going for him. And he hanged himself. 2 weeks later, Chris Cornell, who knew him, he was another member of another band, but they had been close friends, so upset by his friend's suicide, also hanged himself. Age 52, father of 3 children, apparently happily married, everything going for him. People were sorry about that, but still there was a sense of, how can they want to do that? They're rich, they're famous, they've got everything they want. And I thought about that when I read the gospel for today. And I thought about it more when we had the meditation group in the week, when people were saying, I love this group. We meet over there in the parish office there. Large group of people, all available to the solace and the restorative experience of meditation. And people said to me and to Father James, so lovely having this meditation group. This is where I feel restored from the rigors of the week. And that's how Jesus must have felt. He's just heard, we're told, that his kinsman John the Baptist has been beheaded by the wicked Herod in response to his daughter winning a wager, dancing a lascivious dance, and her mother putting her up to the charge. Ask for the head of John the Baptist when your father says, I'll give you anything you ask, because I'm so impressed by your dance. So she says, I'll have the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And that's done. And so Jesus' friends come and give him the news. And that's what we hear in this translation. When he heard this, Jesus withdrew on his own. Not only did he just get this news and he's shocked and he's grieved, but he's been preaching and healing and taking care of thousands of people who've been following him. In the baking Galilean sunshine, he's been traversing around. He never goes further than Galilee, note, in his ministry, but in a way he doesn't need to. Because all the crowds come out They've heard about this one. He's not just anyone saying he's a Messiah, like a lot of people used to do. This one seems to be possibly the real thing. He heals lepers. He heals the sick. What about you, Grandma? You've had that complaint for years. Let's go see if he can heal you. And then the word gets passed. So people throng, if only to be healed. They might not hang around afterwards to hear the preaching and the teaching, but many do. He's even raising people from the dead. So Jesus is exhausted. And you'll notice often in the Gospels, he withdraws. He goes to his meditation group equivalent. Today we're told he gets into a boat and he puts out on the Lake of Galilee. And the crowd still follow him. They're there on the shore. Look, there he is on the boat. And by the way, after today's gospel, the reading goes on to the fact that he then goes up into the mountain on his own to gather himself. Jesus needs to collect himself with all the rigors of his ministry. And that's why I thought about these rock stars who appear to have everything. But they too are human. It's rumored that Justin Bieber wants to explore his fledgling faith with Jesus Christ. And of course that has evoked derision among his hip fans. And Adele is not very well. She's damaged her vocal cords. Some of the vitriolic entries on Facebook said she was one of those faithful people, famous people who, when that apartment block burnt down in London, she went to be nice to people who'd survived, show her face as a famous person, raise morale. She shouldn't have done that because probably the smoke hurt her vocal cords. And the rock stars who seem to have everything, and other people who seem to have everything, and yet they're deeply depressed and they kill themselves, or they have catastrophic breakdowns. They're human beings. And I love the way Jesus is. Humanity shows through when he's just done enough and he needs to gather himself. And his friends, the apostles, forever failing, blundering, getting it wrong. They come, they say, look, there's all these people, and now they're hungry. But we'll send them away. Jesus says, Jesus, fully human and fully divine, the humanity of Jesus, the carpenter, Jesus, the radical rabbi, says to his friends in all his exhaustion, no, tell them to sit down. Or you go and feed them, knowing that they won't know how to do that. So he finds it in himself to say, sit down. What have we got to work on? He says, oh, we've just got this little boy with 5 loaves and a couple of fishes. That won't do much. And then what happens is what we usually think is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. This kind of celestial conjuring trick of multiplying these few little things, few small fishes and a couple of little loaves to feed this multitude of people with 12 baskets of leftovers. There's so much. Is that the miracle? Well, on the face of it, that's the physical miracle. But what's the deeper story of significance? What's the deeper example shown to us through Jesus' own humanity? It's his compassion for the people. His friends say, well, send them away. They can go off and make their own provision. Jesus says, no. Let them sit down. We'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. He cared about those people. Some of them had just come to get what they could from him. Many more of them had come to hear more, but it didn't matter. He didn't discriminate. These are people with a need. Let's supply it. I care about them. They're my fellow men and women and children. Let's provide for them. What have we got? Well, what have we got? We've got more than enough for ourselves. What have we got that we can share if we see a need? How well are we attuned? How well is our radar out when we see a need? Or do we think someone else will deal with that? It's not for me to do. Or I can't do that. I don't have the ability or the skills or the resources. Just think about what Jesus did. I can care for them. I can tell them to sit down. It's hot. Sit down. We'll make this work. Isn't that what the message is? I can share what I've got. I can show at least that I care for somebody. If I'm in New York City, or if I'm in St. Martin, or if I'm in London, or wherever I am, wherever I live, if I see a person in need, I can reach out and help them, whether it's to help somebody cross the road, or give them directions, or just give a kind word to somebody who looks sad. You and I can do that. We can provide for other people's needs, be they spiritual, emotional, or practical. On the plane coming down, and there's a copy of the book here in the rectory, which I've been reading to compare how well the film was made, is the book The Zookeeper's Wife. I don't know if you've seen the film or read the book. It's about war-torn Warsaw in Poland during the war, when the Nazis invade and they destroy this zoological complex that has been built up over the years by Jan and Antonina Zabinski, two zoologists. Christian, she was educated by Roman Catholic nuns, and they destroy the animals and want to make their zoo, this is the Nazis, into a breeding station for perfect breeds, part of the Aryan perfect race project. So they kill all the animals that have been developed over the years, and they take over this zoological complex. And it's hideous. It's absolutely brutal. And what happens is, these two, particularly the wife, Antonina, takes pity on the Jewish population, many of whom work in their zoological gardens, and the ghetto is abutting their zoological garden. And they create a process involving the subterranean cages where they keep the breeding animals, to conceal Jews and then effect their escape, mainly by hiding them in the trucks where the refuse is put on top, mainly the idea to feed the animals. And so the trucks are still allowed to go in and out, even though the animals have mainly been destroyed, and they hide the Jews in there, and then they hide them in the subterranean cages. And the fact is, they helped escape 300 Jewish people, saved their lives. Not one of them was captured and killed. And off they went to their new lives. Stayed in touch with the Zabinskis until their deaths in the 70s. Matthew's main theme in his gospel is finding the kingdom of God, finding the kingdom of heaven. Where is it? Who's in it? Who's eligible to be in it? Well, it's where you and I are to find it. That's where the kingdom of God is and will be, and it's ours to find. It won't come knocking to us. We must go and find the kingdom of God. I think they created the kingdom of God in that fantastic enterprise. And when interviewed, they said, "We did it because it was the right thing to do. We did it because it was the right thing to do." Where are we doing the right thing to do? I leave you with that thought. Because where it is and where you respond to doing the right thing is where you are in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.